The epistle appointed for this Septuagesima Sunday is that St. Paul to the Corinthians, brethren, do you know that those who run in a race, all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run not as without a purpose, I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps, after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them God was not well pleased. Let us stand for the Holy Gospel that is of the Apostles in Matthew chapter 20. At that time Jesus spoke to his disciples these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hours, and did as before. But about the 11th hour, he went out and found the others standing about, and he said to them, why do you stand here all day idle? They said to him, because no man has hired us. He said to them, go you also into my vineyard. But when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first. Now when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more. But they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householders, saying, these last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat. But answering one of them, he said, friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. The season of Septuagesima comprises the 3 weeks immediately preceding Lent. All three are named from their numerical reference to Lent, which in the language of the Church is called Quadragesima, that is, 40, because the great feast of Easter is prepared for the holy penance and devotions of 40 days. Those 40 days called Lent are one of the principal seasons of the liturgical year, and one of the most powerful means employed by the Church for exciting in the hearts of her children the spirit of their Christian vocation. Such a season of grace should incite in the souls of all Catholics a true conversion of the whole spiritual life. The Church, therefore, has instituted a preparation for the holy time of Lent. She gave us these 3 weeks in order to impress deeply in our souls that solemn warning at the commencement of Lent by marking our foreheads with ashes. There are two realities, Babylon and Jerusalem. The first is the image of this world of sin, in the midst where the Christian has to spend his years of probation. And Jerusalem is a heavenly country where he is to repose after all his trials. St. Paul recalls the words of the prophet Job. The prophet Job, who says that life of men on this earth is warfare. We are here in a battle, fighting for the crown of glory. Many are called, but few are chosen. Several may respond, but actually a few make it. And nowadays, preachers who dare to talk in a sermon about salvation for a few would seem to be cultish or exaggerated. Therefore, I will quote the most merciful preacher that ever existed, our Lord Jesus. If we read in St. Luke chapter 13, someone asked the Blessed Lord, "Lord, are they few that are saved?" And what did our Lord say? "Why would you say if you have come here to die for the salvation of these people?" Did he answer for those who are baptized only? Those who say the Lord is my personal Savior? Obviously, he taught baptism. But to this particular question answered to him in this gospel, he responds, "Strive to enter by the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, shall seek to enter and shall not be able." Our Lord explains this thought more in detail if you read St. Matthew chapter 7. "Enter ye into the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there are who go in thereat. How narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and a few are there to find it." If we look at the world nowadays, we can say that there are two different paths that are said to lead to heaven, and both are supposedly heading into the same direction. That white path is a road that goes down on a hill. It's a white path without any type of warning signs. There are no obstacles in the road. There are no distinctions in what is good and what is evil. Everything is relative. No penance is necessary. There is universal salvation as long as you confess Christ as your personal Savior. And you can stay in that white path without falling away from the road. But then the other one is a narrow path, where you believe not what you want or feel like, but believe what God tells you. You have warning signs for avoiding evil. Otherwise, you fall away from that narrow path. In order to go back, you need to confess your sins. Weekly church attendance is necessary, and your words should mean and match your actions. That path is uphill, restricted, hard. It requires labor for our sanctification by employing in the service of God all what we have received from His goodness. And at the end, we can ask ourselves, is salvation that difficult? That same Master said, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow after." St. John chapter 13. He has shown us the narrow path, and that is the only way to be saved. So let us follow him in that way, and we will be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.